week's warm-up go?
All right.
Good. See, it's getting better.
What do you want?
World peace and an end to hunger.
That's not true.
Well, it's something I want.
Happy Battle Pug Day.
Is it Battle Pug Day?
It's Battle Pug Day.
Happy Battle Pug Day.
Saturday is Battle Pug Day in Chicago. Today is official across-the-country Battle Pug Day.
So all of Chicago is going to acknowledge Battle Pug?
Yeah, get a key to the city.
Wow. Shouldn't it be like a big dog bone to the city or something?
That's not funny.
Sure it is. They could tie a big collar around your neck with your name on it.
I already got one.
Of course you do. So, happy Battle Pug Day.
Happy Battle Pug Day. What are you doing to celebrate Battle Pug Day?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to be cutting grass soon.
Adopting kittens.
You gonna adopt them kittens?
No, I haven't seen them in a few days.
Because they're probably all dead because you never took them in.
Well, they move around a lot. They're nomads.
You know the real reason to adopt cats, right?
So they eat me when I die alone in my home?
No, it's to get them fixed.
Oh, that's not adopting them. That's taking them someplace to get them fixed.
But
you're not going to... He's just going to argue with you.
Okay. I really don't think you guys understand the concept of feral cats versus stray cats.
I've had a lot of cats who were, like, feral cats and then were brought in by ASPCAs or SPCAs. And then one of the siblings, yeah, maybe stays feral, but then the other one becomes tame and taken in by a nice family.
Huh. A lot of the information I read seemed to indicate that with ferals, they tend to just put them down if they can't re-release them.
They're not kittens.
Yeah, that's... in fact, I think I read that on the San Francisco SPCA website.
Hmm.
After a certain point, anyway. Like, if you can catch them and get them used to people before 8 weeks, I think? Or before 12 weeks. Something like that. I don't know. I did a lot of reading when they first were born, but... It's one of those things where, I mean, you know... They're cats. They're wild animals.
Yeah.
Can you?
Animals.
So just before you told me you were on, I was watching this. I want to say it's a weird movie, but it's only weird in context of its poster versus what the movie actually is. Have you seen something called Dead Dudes in the House?
Yes.
Looking at the poster, you think it's going to be some sort of weird 80s house party movie.
Yeah, it is the shittiest of... It's a shitty-looking movie.
Yeah, and it's a wild misdirect. Like, you know.
It's a shitty slasher movie.
Yeah. It's not a comedy.
It's like House Party on the cover.
Yeah, I mean, it's even got the, you know, the wacky type and stuff.
I mean, the title's fucking Dead Dudes in the House.
And they're all making, like, funny faces and stuff on the cover. And
None of those people are in the movie. Wait, none of the people on the cover are in the movie.
You're right. This looks like a boy band, and it's not them.
Yeah, I told you.
Wow. And even the blurb on the front says this thing is a hoot. Like, isn't that something you usually apply to something that's, like, funny or something? It's just weird, man. But yeah, so far it's not very good.
It doesn't get better.
The poster is much better. I want to see the movie the poster advertises. But anyway, yeah. So that's what I was doing just before you called, or before I called.
Yeah, before I called.
Yeah. Well, you kind of called. You told me you were on.
You asked, and I told you I was here.
Yeah. But anyway, there was a length of planning, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. I watched Carnival Row.
Yeah?
New Amazon thing.
Yeah.
Got
your ferry on?
Well, it's got really good-looking moments. And it's got some interesting bits here and there, but mostly it's kind of uninteresting.
Yeah, I've been hearing real mixed reviews about it.
It's just...
Perfection.
So, they're trying to be I guess, modern fantasy drama, which is, what's the reference for that? Game of Thrones, right, I guess?
What? Modern fantasy drama is Game of Thrones?
I guess that's the modern reference for it. Because it seems pretty Games of Thrones-y in tone and stuff like that. It's if you like, you know, I mean, if you're into, like, the political maneuvering kind of TV shows and stuff, you'll dig it, I think, maybe. Because that seems to be mostly what it consists of.
Oh.
Well, not mostly. It's a large part of it. But it's also sort of a Victorian murder mystery with a monster.
Ooh.
It's one of those things where it's got like a bunch of subplots going on at once, you know?
Yeah.
Like a TV show.
More engaged than that normally, but yeah. Where they're overcomplicating it or something. I think the biggest thing is it just feels kind of hollow, like empty. Like, and it's really drab. Like, lots of dreary colors, which I guess they're trying to sell the whole Victorian War thing. But, I don't, you know, and I don't know.
It's sad because, like I said, I knew a lot of people who were on the original, like, concept art push for it.
Yeah.
And they would fly up to Canada and meet with Guillermo del Toro when he was involved with it. You know, he kind of put together the art team initially. And it really just sounds like all that was just scrapped when, producers kind of jumbled around, and it kind of lost that weirdness that it would have had.
It seems like it should be weirder than it is. It's almost, and I'm wondering if maybe somebody's high concept for this was, let's make all this really fantastical stuff seem so mundane so we can sell the reality of it. Maybe. That's trying to justify it from observation, but it's, I don't know, the whole thing, it just comes off as kind of, because even the music is just very standard, generic-y, like, string score stuff mixed with modern kind of pop music and some pseudo kind of Irish ballad stuff. But it all sounds very just generic through the whole thing.
Later, look up, the artist, Sean Andrew Murray.
Is that Sean, like, S-H-A-W or S-E-A-N?
S-E-A-N, and then Andrew Murray, with A-Y. He does a thing, I don't remember what it's called Gateway, uh-huh. And he was one of the concept artists on it. And if it had looked anything like his Gateway world, it would have been fuck wild. Because he already has a whole, like, IP that's just this weird fantasy city that's full of, like, weird fish people creatures and things and wizards, and it's awesome. It's just so... He basically wanted to do sci-fi, but he was mad that sci-fi always got to have all the fun with, like, weird aliens and creatures and stuff.
Yeah.
When fantasy kind of had to have those classic tropes. And so he just created a fantasy world that is just filled with weird people, weird creatures as its inhabitants.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of it now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, he was one of the, back when Guillermo was involved, among enough, you know, Guillermo del Toro's other big band of awesome concept artists.
Yeah, I guess the real strong feeling I took away from this is that it's just a lot of undeveloped potential.
Yeah.
like there's so much that could have been happening that instead they scattered it. It was a little unfocused. Like, there's one character that we see a lot of, and we're following his plot line. And maybe this is supposed to pay off in the second season more. But it seemed like the only reason we were following him at all was just to get to this one point at the very end. Because most of the storyline we see him in, it's not all that really interesting or anything, you know? He's a character that provides some, like, clues to background information and stuff, but, like, we could have got that from anywhere, you know? And then they, and it's, I hesitate to draw this kind of, comparison, because they both share the same actors, but it's almost the same feeling I got from Valerian, where it was kind of good to look at, and it had moments that were pretty cool, but overall it was just sort of like, eh. And yeah, it just kind of felt hollow. Like, I don't know.
I'm really wondering, like, just, because it seemed like it was kind of rescued by, who's the male lead in that again?
Orlando Bloom?
Yeah, it seems like it was kind of rescued by him when he got involved. I feel like it might have been at the point where it was, like, never going to happen, and then he kind of jumped on board. They probably threw a little money at it. And then I feel like then they kind of pushed it through. Because because I was following along, like, just talking to people, and it seemed pretty much dead, as far as I could tell.
Like, how far back was that? Like,
2013?
Oh, geez. Okay.
So this I think that's when I first started hearing stuff about it. Back in 2013. And then it just kind of fell by the wayside. And now it's just coming out. Six years later.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. It is a big production. I could see it taking a lot of time, but yeah. Over the course of that time, a lot can get discarded and changed and, like, original vision lost kind of thing. And,
yeah.
I mean, overall, I do have to say, I mean, the cast was good.
Yeah.
There were a lot of faces I recognized from other stuff in it, and they were all solid in their roles. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even that the story was bad, it just seemed jumbled. Not particularly hard to follow, but jumbled in a way that it was like, it was hard to keep interested in anything. But, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, what the heck.
I'll probably give it a lot. I mean, I've waited so long for it to come out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's got things that I think other people will like. I'm not saying it's a terrible production. And there's, you know, it's got pretty high scores on Amazon right now. So, yeah, definitely give it a watch, because it may be right, you know, right up your alley, might be your thing, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So that was fun. Or not fun. What about you, Mike? What have you been watching?
Nothing really.
Yeah.
A lot of Bigfoot movies.
Why are there so many Bigfoot movies, Mike?
I don't know. I've got a lot more to go, but they're developing sort of a, they all have the similar format, which is another reason to ask the question, why are there so many of them if they all have the same plot?
Yeah. You've seen the one with, what's his name? Captain America, right? Reb?
Reb?
Yeah.
Which one is that?
Well, I gotta remember what it was called. It was a Bigfoot movie, though. Or a Sasquatch movie, or whatever you want to call it. What's his last name? Johnson?
Brown.
Oh, yeah. Or Brown. It's called, like, it's not that old. I think it's 2000s sometime.
Oh, wait. It's the one with Zach Galligan, too.
Nightclaws. That's what it was.
Nightclaws? Oh, that's the one. That's the David Pryor one.
It's the one with, from 2012, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Okay.
I didn't know that he's in that.
I think he gets killed real fast or something?
Yeah, no, he's in it. He's the sheriff.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He does wind up getting, like, killed off, though.
Everybody gets killed in that moment.
But, anyway, yeah. So there... There was a particular year you said that there were a lot of them.
A lot. Most of them came out in 2017 for some reason.
Oh, okay.
There were a bunch in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, there's a Bigfoot-a-sance in 2017.
There was Harry and the Hendersons in the 80s.
Yes, and I won't take anything away from that because I think that's a great family movie.
Good for you.
But it's not really. Well, it is a Bigfoot movie, but it's
a movie with Bigfoot in it.
Yeah.
But it's not the kind of Bigfoot movie we're talking about here.
Yeah, it's not a horror movie.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. There was another one I watched from a couple of years ago that was surprisingly not bad, but you never really saw the Bigfoot in it. It was like
that's another thing that I'm noticing in a lot of these movies, because a lot of these movies, just, you know, from the sheer number of them, a lot of them are very low budget.
Oh, yeah.
I saw one that was made by the Polonia brothers, who are famous for their shitty video movies, that even though they've made tons and tons of movies that you can find on IMDb and stuff, this movie does not exist on IMDb or Letterboxd or anything. And it's called Bigfoot Among Us.
Okay.
And you never see the Bigfoot in it.
Huh.
But there is a scene at a rest stop where Bigfoot climbs down from the toilet in the stall next to a guy and then kills him.
Oh.
So he was just hiding out in a toilet, Bigfoot was.
It's good that the Bigfoots can plan ahead. Big feet? Bigfoots? I don't know what the plural of Bigfoot is.
It would be big feet, I would think.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what this one was from a couple years ago. I seem to remember being like maybe a cam movie, like a found footage type movie.
That's what Bigfoot Among Us is. Are you sure you didn't see Bigfoot Among Us?
No, the way this was titled, like, it didn't sound like it was a Bigfoot movie. I didn't realize it was a Bigfoot movie until like I watched it.
This one was Bigfoot Among Us. It's a found footage. It's very much a Blair Witch ripoff. There's one I just saw called Monster Among Men.
Okay.
That it's kind of a surprise Bigfoot movie.
Yeah, like, this isn't that movie, but this was like that.
You think it's the killer is this guy that they went camping with, and then all of a sudden Bigfoot shows up in the very, very last scene.
It's the movie called Surprise Bigfoot.
Yeah. The thing is, it's kind of spoiled for you when it's recommended with all the Bigfoot movies. And so you're like, oh, well, I guess I'll watch this Bigfoot movie. And then for an hour and a half, you're like, where's the fucking Bigfoot in this movie?
Yeah, I guess it's just one of those things where I don't know how Gestalt happens exactly.
You don't know how what?
Gestalt, like when a lot of things, like an idea.
Gestalt?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't understand what you were saying.
Gestalt.
Gestalt.
Whatever. Why are you arguing me the pronunciation of a word rather than the idea behind it?
Well, I want people to understand what you're saying.
Well, you got it.
Because I speak crank.
Okay, moving on. I don't know how this thing happens where, you know, an idea becomes commonplace and everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people do the same thing, like, in a short period of time, you know? I'm guessing some of this stuff was in the works for a while and it all just got released at the same time or something?
I mean, like, how in this last year we've had 3 Bigfoot animated movies?
Well, you know, okay.
I didn't know there were Bigfoot animated movies.
Yeah, there's, Missing Link through Leica and Smallfeet?
Littlefoot.
Littlefoot?
Smallfoot, yeah. Smallfoot? Something like that.
And then there's the new one that's coming out, the Sasquatch.
I forget. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, there is such a thing as you know, just like a something zeitgeist, you know, where people are just all thinking the same thing. But when it comes to Hollywood, I really think somebody's fucking copying off at somebody else. Because they all seem to know what's being made out there. Like, the little experience I've had, if you talk to somebody, they're saying, well, they're making this over here. We need to make this. You know, they all know.
That would make a lot of sense if it's just common information amongst...
Yeah, they just all know, so they're all copying each other.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. But why pick...
I used to think it was like, wow, what a coincidence, but it's not.
But, I mean, a lot of the stuff you watch is low budget. Is it Hollywood? Still?
I think that's just a lot of people with no originality, and they're just fucking copying what they've seen before. Because, like I said, they all have the same plot. Hmm. And it's easy to film a Bigfoot movie. It's out in the woods. You just wander around the woods.
Yeah.
Also, here's something that I've noticed in Bigfoot movies. There's a lot of zombie stuff in Bigfoot movies for some reason. Really? I've seen more than two Bigfoot movies where zombies are involved.
Well, that just sounds like they're trying to cram a bunch of stuff in.
Yeah, they all have a different reason for it, but, I mean, sometimes it's like Bigfoot bites you and you become a zombie.
What?
Yeah, man, I'm serious.
Why wouldn't you become like a were-Bigfoot or something instead?
There's two movies where he bites you and you become like this zombie, and he keeps you in like this stasis so that he can come and eat you later.
Oh, sort of a
pattern. Two movies like that. One's called Demon Warp and the other is Prey for the Monster, Prey for the Beast.
Huh.
And then there's one where he just makes zombies out of you. And you haunt the guy that should have, you know, left the Indian burial ground alone. I mean, that's seriously the plot.
How often do Indian burial grounds?
A lot of these Bigfoot movies have Indian burial grounds in them, too. Because I guess they love to say that Bigfoot's like a Native American thing.
I guess that makes sense, because they were whatever. But isn't that the Wendigo or whatever?
Wendigo's a Bigfoot.
I thought
They're all sort of the same thing.
I thought Wendigo were like people that became hairy flesh eaters or something.
I'm sure that was the Very Cool X-Files episode, but they have to come up with an original take on these things, but it all comes down to Bigfoot.
Okay.
So I'm done the Where Bigfoot.
Yes. There's several Where Bigfoot movies. They're not called that though. And when they do that kind of stuff, it's like they immediately go to werewolf because that's the more popular movie monster.
Huh. So we're in the middle of a Bigfootissance.
Oh, yeah. There was also that movie, The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Bigfoot.
Oh, Willow Creek. That was the name of the one I was thinking of.
Oh, Willow Creek. That just came out. That's a new movie.
That was like 2013. It was a Bobcat Goldthwait movie.
Yeah. I was going to watch that the other night, actually, but I didn't.
I don't remember
what... Hellraiser instead.
Which one?
The first one.
Like the original version?
Yeah, because I hadn't seen it since I was a kid, and I remember it terrifying me, and now it's just a corny monster movie.
Huh.
I mean, the effects are pretty shitty, except for the gore and stuff. It's a pretty gross movie, but it's the effects are pretty dumb.
I haven't watched it in a while. I don't remember them being that bad, but I don't know that I've seen it in high def either. It might look like suffer for being better visualized, you know, or better resolution. Was the first one? No, it was the second one that had the person that came out of the blood bed, right? Or was that in the first one?
No, that's the origin of the dude. Is he...
Like, he comes out of the mattress and he's all just, like, slimy blood and stuff? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that freaked me out when I was a kid.
Yeah, well...
That movie had a lot of disturbing concepts to it. I mean, however they delivered it visually, you know? Like,
it's what scares us most, I think. The idea of when you're a kid.
Yeah. Big feet. I always liked Sasquatch from Alpha Flight.
Yeah, he was my favorite.
What was the white one?
That was also Sasquatch, but that was Snowbird being Sasquatch. She can make her own. She's a shape changer. She could turn into any animal.
Oh, that's right. He got like killed off or disappeared or something, and she was like really sad about it.
And so she... No, yeah, I forget the exact.
Like she became him as like an atonement or something, or.
I don't think it was that.
Oh. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, okay. What it was... They brought Sasquatch back because he died. They brought his spirit... They brought him back from another dimension. But it was just... You found out that Walter Lankowski was actually, when he became Sasquatch, was just borrowing like a Native American demon body. And so the actual demon came through and they had to kill him again. something like that.
Okay.
No, wait. That's what they found out. And then they killed, that was the first time they killed him, is that he was essentially becoming evil. To bring him back, they had to go into that other dimension and bring his spirit back, and they put it in Snowbird. And I don't, what happened maybe there? Snowbird died and they put it in her body. Basically, Walter was Snowbird.
Okay.
So when he transformed, he was a woman.
Which is weird, because if you can just transform into anything anyway, and if your ego was male, why would you still be a woman? Like,
I don't know.
I guess that was just a way of identifying
differences. John Byrne did a lot of stories like that where he played around with gender and stuff like that.
Was he the one behind Cloud from New Defenders?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Cloud didn't have a gender.
Well, Cloud was both, like, showed up as brother and sister kind of things or whatever, but it was male and female, and I think they were actually different personalities.
Yeah, Cloud was what Cloud wanted to be. Cloud was whatever Cloud wanted to be.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened to Cloud?
Like,
I don't know if anybody other than you and I remember.
I think Cloud was killed when they killed off everybody else in New Defenders before they started X-Factor.
Oh, yeah, they killed everybody in them.
Yeah, like, everybody died except for the people that went over to X-Factor, which were the original X-Men.
Oh, Gargoyle too, huh?
Yeah, Gargoyle got killed off. He got, like, turned into ash or something and blew away. Mm. And his spirit, the old man's spirit was released or whatever.
Mm.
And Valkyrie was killed, though they brought her back later.
They always bring everybody back.
And I don't know if they've ever brought back Cloud or anything. And I don't know if they brought back Gargoyle or not. Was Gargoyle just a ripoff of Etrigan? Or was did Gargoyle come first?
I don't think Gargoyle came first, but I am not an expert.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just remember finding that issue one of the limited Gargoyle series when I was a kid and buying it, and then I picked up the other three. And I just really liked that series for some reason. That mini. And all it was just his origin tale or whatever. But basically, from what I remember.
What is his origin?
I don't even remember anymore. He was an old dude, and he made some sort of pact, and they locked him in a demon body. And he was not happy about it. I don't know. Something like that. There was more to it, obviously, but that's the bare bones I remember. I should reread that. I should go back and reread the New Defenders run, too. I remember really liking that when I was reading it.
Oh, you did. You mentioned it often.
I sold off my G.I. Joe comics to buy those.
You talk about that in Atari Force more than any other comic.
Probably do. Well, Long Shot, too. That was another one that made a big impression on me. And the Moon Knight, Fist of Khonshu. That was the bomb.
I remember that.
Diggity-o. It was just so weird. Like, I mean, the Moonshot.
Moonshot!
That's Long Shot as Moon Knight.
I like it. Let's do it.
Moonshot. Long Night? We call it Long Night.
No.
Uh-oh.
Long shot missed with Moon Knight. Anyway. I don't remember what I was going to say. Yeah, anyway, that Fist of Ganji was just weird. Like, the regular series was cool, and it was, like, had just odd shit in it, but Fist of Ganji was bonkers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Does he have his powers currently?
I haven't been following it.
I haven't either. That's why I'm kind of...
I wasn't sure still has a regular series?
Yeah, has for a long time.
Okay. I didn't know if he was just showing up in, like, crossovers or, like, other people's team books or something.
Because, I mean, they've made such a deal out of his mental, you know, situation that, you know, him having powers is kind of a does he or does he not kind of thing.
Oh, like he just might be really crazy and super skilled? Like
I get. Well, I mean, when it's a full moon, he gets super strength.
Right. But maybe they just think he's like a Batman-type character, as opposed to like a crazy Batman?
He is crazy Batman. Well, crazier Batman.
Yeah. Last time I read the Moon Knight stuff was 2014? I remember they were really playing up the crazy angle then.
They have since. Pretty much since the 90s they've been doing that.
And I want to say it was...
He had a sidekick in the 90s, which I can't... is the most un-Moon Knight thing I can think of.
Moon Boy?
I forgot what his name was.
Moony?
He went bad, and they had to fight him.
Crescent?
Crescent. Awesome. Moon Knight and Crescent.
Yeah, and then when he wanted to say, hey, let's go, he'd say, Crescent, roll!
Crescent, roll! What was Moon Knight's... I can't remember.
It was Moon Baby.
Moon Baby! Moon Dog!
I like when Moon Knight's like, I'm going full moon! Call back. When he goes bad, is he the dark side of the Moon Knight?
You're fired.
You should feel bad. If you record any fight though of Moon Knight and play Dark Side of the Moon on it, it matches up.
See? That one's better. That one's better.
Huh. So it's on its like sixth volume.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Lemire writing it now.
Moon Knight's a cool idea. Yeah, also, got that Boba Fett quality where his costume's pretty badass.
It was... I mean, part of what was cool about it was just so stark. Like... I mean, there was that mid-2000s where they made... Like, Finch was doing them and he was all... Lots of fold and rolls and stuff, you know?
Well, I didn't like that stuff.
And that wasn't like... it didn't have the same kind of, like, feel to it, you know?
Well, did you see the Stephen Platt one back in the...
Yeah.
He's huge.
Uh-uh. Well, Finch's was pretty ripped, too.
He wasn't Stephen Platt.
That's how you know it's
look up Stephen Platt, Moon Knight. You're going to see some stuff.
Is he just swole?
He is swole beyond.
Is that the one where he's trying to look like Spawn?
Sort of.
Bursting out of his costume.
I'm trying to find the name of his sidekick. But I'm having a problem finding it. Oh, yeah. Him and Silver Sable should have teamed up more.
I like that he's so ripped. He's just like coming out of his costume. He's just like, I can't contain me!
All right, when did you say he had a sidekick?
The 90s.
In the 90s. So that's volume 3, probably. The Mark Spector Moon Knight?
There's a Spider-Man issue.
Oh, his name was Midnight.
Oh, okay.
He was the son of Midnight Man.
Who the fuck is Midnight Man?
Apparently a member of Moon Knight's Rogues Gallery. Because that's right, he did have like a bunch of people, right? Like a cab driver and shit that he worked with?
No, he was the cab driver.
Oh, he was, that's
the thing with Moon Knight. Moon Knight was Batman, except it's like, oh, we'll outdo Batman. He's going to have three secret identities. He's Bruce Wayne, he's a crazy bum, and he's a cab driver. For some reason, he had three alter egos. And that doesn't count the mercenary that he was before all of that.
Right.
Mercenary Mark Spector, cab driver Jake Lockley, and millionaire Stephen Grant. That's
wild. Well, so that mystery solved anyway.
You've been
moved. I do wish all of his alter egos used M in the first name and K in the second name.
Like Mark Knight?
Just like, they were just all MK names.
Also, let's not forget his French butler who spoke phonetically in the comic book.
Oh, right. Well, he was still in it recently, too, didn't he? Or did he eventually die? Or something?
Oh, he's still in it, I think. Maybe. Well, he might have died. I don't know. I'm not up with the current continuity.
I wonder when they're going to just, like, combine all the versions of Moon Knight and make a MK Ultra.
MK Ultra?
Yeah. And then make it all about, like, government experiments created Moon Knight or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like something I don't want to read.
Khonshu's actually just, like, a guy in a radio room sending messages to, straight to, like, Mark Spector's
brain. I do like that. I do like a guy that thinks he's talking to God. It's actually the government. Just talking to him over radio.
Just telling him what to do. Hey, dude, we need you to go do this. Sure, Khonshu.
Yeah, I do like that.
Well, there we are.
Wow, I never realized how bonkers Moon Knight is.
Mm-hmm. He's a mercenary who was about to die. He ended up taking shelter in a tomb in Egypt, and like he either imagined he talked to Khonshu or Khonshu gave him superpowers.
But then it also says they have different, with those powers having different origins when they reappear. Does he have moon based super strength because he was bitten by a werewolf or because he's been blessed by a moon god? The answer to both of those curious is yes.
Oh, right, because he was. He was made up as a bad guy for Werewolf by Night. So he's a werewolf hunter, really. And then they decided to make him a superhero.
He's been a television producer in Los Angeles who creates new task-specific personalities based on existing superheroes.
Yeah, that was Bendis's run, which I did not like. It's where he was in L.A., and then you thought he was talking to Spider-Man and Wolverine and Captain America.
That was the last one I watched.
That he's just talking to himself.
Yeah, that was the last one I watched. Or read, I mean. Sorry, last one I read.
Yeah.
At one point, he fought a supervillainous named Coach Whip.
Coach Whip?
What kind of a villainous Coach Whip?
I don't know.
That's terrible.
Don't make him mad. He'll whip you.
Huh.
Coach?
No, it's a she. Oh, she first appeared in Captain America number 341.
So is this Moon Knight series going to be the MCU's PG answer to Deadpool?
Well, Moon Knight never talked to the audience.
I know, but I mean, just make it really weird and all over the place.
I'm sure they'll make it weird.
Wait, was Deadpool? Oh, Deadpool. I was thinking Daredevil.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who's doing the Moon Knight series?
Moon Knight on D+, or will it be on Hulu?
I thought they said D+.
Yeah, I don't think anything else is going to be.
Is Hulu not going to be available through D+ now? Or?
I thought you could do it as an add-on on.
Yeah, it's still a separate add-on.
You better get ready for that D+.
They don't want.
That's a lot of D.
Yeah.
Man,
plus.
They really want to give everybody the D.
I got 3 years of the D.
Yeah, but I bet you had to pay for your D.
I always pay for my D.
Everybody's going to have to pay for the D.
Man, no free D anymore.
No free D for you.
Yeah. It'll be available as an add-on to Hulu, so you don't need to get another app. So you can just do it all through Hulu.
But is D Plus its own thing, too? Like its own app?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, yeah, never mind. I guess it's like the subscription channel things and on Amazon or whatever.
Yeah, it's like when you add HBO to Hulu or Amazon.
That makes sense. It was, have you guys still been watching any of the Legion TV show stuff? The Legion?
No, I haven't ever seen it.
Oh.
I like it.
It's still going, right?
No, it's done.
Oh. But it was it pretty good?
The Supergirls?
No, Legion.
Yes, right.
Professor X.
Professor X is, yeah. It is 3 seasons, right?
Yeah.
I watched the first season, but then I didn't keep current with the new season, so I've been meaning to go back and watch them.
Did it stay pretty good through 2 and 3?
2's a mixed bag. And what I've seen of 3 has been really good.
Because I remember really liking 1. I thought it was just like great, weird TV.
Like, 3 being kind of course correct.
I need to catch up on that.
You need to catch up on the D.
I never watched any of the, yeah, I need more D. Some vitamin D.
You need that Sunny D.
Sunny D? I got purple stuff.
No! God damn it. I don't think they could have been any clearer that purple stuff is not what they want.
What about purple drank?
Purple drank is a different thing, dog.
I know. was the Cloak and Dagger show any good?
It's okay. The last season, the one that's out now, has been kind of... In a lot of ways, it's really cool. In a lot of ways, that first season I thought was one of the better comic book adaptions. But it feels like in season 2, every episode is a bottle episode.
Oh.
So I get real tired of it real quick.
And what about that the Runaways show? Was that good?
Yeah, same thing.
Runaways move so slow.
Yeah.
I felt like I'd watch multiple episodes and nothing really happened.
Also, it was more about the parents than that.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, in the comic it was easy. Parents are bad. In this one they're like, well, there's a lot of stuff you don't know.
Not all parents. Or something. Yeah, there's just so much TV I gotta catch up on. Because I just haven't really been watching a lot of current stuff unless it's been on Amazon.
Wanting to watch Dark Crystal, but I want to actually, like, give it the attention instead of having it just on while I'm doing something else.
Is that still a Henson thing?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Super Henson, yeah.
John Henson.
Get ready. It's gross.
It's gross?
Yeah, there's a lot of gross shit in Henson's stuff.
Oh.
Like snot.
Gooey things.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Uncomfortable puppets.
Like puppets that make you uncomfortable or puppets that are uncomfortable?
Well, there's a lot of like shivering puppets.
Oh, I don't like that.
Skeksis Midnight Runners?
It does have my favorite Muppet quality, though, when a puppet gets really excited and they do, like, the hand thing. That's my favorite.
Like the current, when he throws his hands up in the air and just waggles?
Is Fraggle Rock in the same world as Dark Crystal?
Like, set in the same world?
It ought to be.
I thought it was just set in It seems like their universe bleeds over.
Their universe is our universe. They just live in a basement.
No, they live in a universe like separate than ours.
They,
like,
don't oh,
dog.
They don't go
it's
through a.
They don't
go through a portal.
It's a dimension. No, it's not.
No, it's not. They just go through a hole in the wall.
Where do the big giant guys live then?
What big giant guys?
They guard where Mercury the trash heap is.
Yes.
Where is that? Is that on Earth?
Yes.
No.
It's just like in the woods.
No, it's in the it's a Middle Earth kind of a thing. It's a
that guy's backyard.
It's his compost heap in the backyard, isn't it?
Sky. Yeah, well, it was in Middle Earth too, right?
Hollow
Earth. That's why. But yeah, Middle Earth is different.
I accept that as an answer, but I'm also for its dimension.
No, because what's his face sends postcards from all the places
traveling.
Yeah, that's right. He goes
in the literal world that he's visiting.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he can't go to Earth. I'm saying there's like a portal that goes between them.
No, there's no portal.
I like how indignant we are. Like, oh, you fucking idiot!
Just like you're being so dismissive.
Where's Sesame Street take place?
On Sesame Street.
There's a fucking portal in New York.
That's purgatory.
Okay, but there are portals in.
They're waiting to get off the island.
In Fraggle Rock.
Yes, there is. Because there's the dark corridor with the portal that sends you to fucking ghost hell.
Whoa.
Yes, oh, it's like a nightmare.
I think maybe you fell asleep.
No, it's okay.
Fraggle Rock. There are four main intelligent anthropomorphic species in Fraggle Rock environment. Fraggles, doozers, gorgs, and silly creatures. The Fraggles and Doozers live in a system of natural caves called Fraggle Rock, filled with all manner of creatures and features, which connect to at least two different areas. The land of Gorgs, which they consider part of the universe, and outer space, where the silly creatures, or humans, live.
Well, that's confusing because that's their terminology for
right.
it.
Well, they do call it outer space, but that's what makes it fun, right?
Right.
But it takes place underneath a bakery in France.
What? That's in France?
Well, so interestingly, like, that part with the human and the dog are filmed with different actors for the different nationalities and all the different...
Are they?
Rock and show, yeah.
I had no idea.
Huh. I remember that one guy in France a lot sending postcards.
Uncle Traveling Matt? Wasn't that his name?
Travel Matt, yeah.
Yeah. He was the bravest of the Fraggles. So it is our universe. Is that what we're saying?
Yes. Seems the Gorgs live in like some other hidden land, but Fraggle Rock is just a cave system underneath this place.
Okay.
Why is the default in France? This is American production, right?
Unless the story was originally something before it was a TV show.
Oh, good point. Was it?
I don't know. It could have been like. You know, Marsupilami's Belgian or whatever, but we had an American cartoon of it. Or, any of that early.
Sorry. So it was an international co-production.
Oh.
Okay, so it was different. So it was different in each country.
Yeah, that's
in
what
the British version is a takes place underneath a lighthouse. Exterior footage was that of St. Anthony's Lighthouse. The lighthouse keeper is the captain.
Wow.
A retired sailor who lives with his faithful dog Sprocket.
So Sprocket stays the same.
Yeah, and then in France, the wraparound segment takes place in a bakery with his version of Doc, played by Michael Robin, who works as a baker and a French alter ego for Sprocket called Croquette.
Croquette.
So you're talking about all in different dimensions. But the main version filmed in Toronto features an inventor named Doc.
Right, yeah, he was like a... He always had cobble, or gears and stuff around, right? Like, in our version.
Yeah, this wraparound was used in the USA, Australia, New Zealand, the Netherlands, Ireland, etc.
So, yeah, we're facing a real crisis on Infinite Rocks here, man.
Yeah. Wow. Holy smokes.
How do we reconcile all this? It must be multidimensional, then. Sean's right.
Burn!
I just want to know more about this portal dimension of frickin' Fraggle Hill.
Well, there was a spin-off TV series called The Doozers.
Yeah.
What?
It was a cartoon, right?
That was in 2014 on Hulu. Well, no, it started, began airing on Hulu in April 2014. Second season was... 2018?
What? Well. So this is...
Happy Battle Pug Day.
Happy Battle Pug Day. I never realized how rich and extensive the world of Fraggle Rock really was.
Fraggle Rock's real good.
They put a lot of thought into those Jim Henson shows.
Fraggle Rock, same world as Farscape.
I'll go with that.
Well, I mean, Farscape's already the same world as Dark Crystal. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, technically, Farscape
clearly crashed, or Amoya clearly crashed and became that.
I mean, Farscape was in our world, or our universe, or whatever. Anyway, so
because they also show a sketchy skeleton in Farscape.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. And they talk about the Skeksis race. Yeah. It's all the same.
I need to pick back up with that. I got into second season, I think.
Farscape?
Yeah, I know.
Don't feel bad. Don't let him guilt you.
Oh my god, one of the best shows ever made, and then easily the best follow-up movie to end a series ever made.
I will say, because I did rewatch it recently, I think it holds up really well. So. Yeah, I'm picturing this whole shared Henson universe thing. That could be exciting. We could have like a super crossover, a team up.
No, don't make like it.
Doc, Sprocket the Dog, Gobo, etc. Family Matt appear in A Muppet Family Christmas. So they obviously take place in the same universe as the Muppets.
Well, the Muppets,
I mean,
Muppets.
I guess it is our universe.
Also the same universe as St. Elmo's Fire.
Wait.
St. Elmo's Fire?
What's the
St. Elsewhere?
St. Elsewhere.
St. Elmo's Fire.
Oh, man.
Now I'm just picturing Elmo in that movie.
You know about the Elsewhere universe, right?
Doesn't that cross over with a bunch of stuff, though?
Elsewhere crosses over with every TV show ever.
It does?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, essentially...
How?
Well, it's a couple things. One, because it's all in the mind of that kid.
Yeah, but I don't know how that ties it to other shows.
What's his name from Law and Order?
Munch is in that show too?
He's an episode of that, which means it's in the same universe as X-Files.
X-Files, Sesame Street, all the Law and Order.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, boy.
I didn't know Munch was, you know.
He's a carrier.
Well, I know about Munch. I just didn't know that he was on that show.
Alf? Alf also?
Munch was on Alf? Maybe they watched Alf on it.
So,
I think Bob Newhart.
I mean, because Fraggle Rock takes place in our Earth, it can technically cross over to anything. Right?
Okay, so the doctors on St. Elsewhere also were on an episode of Cheers. Cheers spawned Frasier.
So Frasier's contaminated.
And then it had characters that appeared on Wings.
What?
John Munch from
a lot of weird cameos back in the day on television.
X-Files and The Wire.
Munch was on The Wire?
I don't understand. So why?
Is it just that these actors were in those things?
No, the characters passed over.
I don't get... Okay, this was just a pretty standard medical drama, right? Why would they end it all up by saying that it was all in the imagination of an autistic kid?
It's a good question.
It just seems a weird way to wrap up what's supposed to be like a pretty straightforward show. You know?
That's why everybody's still obsessed with it to this day. It was pretty strange.
Man, I forget so many people were in that show.
After, it also raced to Alf, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Knight Rider, Melrose Place, Seinfeld. It just keeps going. There's so many shows that connect into this somehow.
I watched a horror movie the other night that had the younger sister from Fresh Prince in it. And it also had Pagliacci? Clown?
Pagliacci.
I think it's Pagliacci. I think the G's are soft. Like, super soft.
Josh! No!
Oh, it goes deep.
Transdimensional. Oh, I love this name of this website, Overthinking It. That's the best name.
I also like that image of a Fraggle standing in front of the Stargate.
It pretty much conclusively establishes that that each Fraggle hole is a portal to another dimension.
Mm. Knew it.
I like that. That's good.
So Fraggles are at the center of everything?
Gore, James Bond, Fraggle, Tozer.
I think we lost him, Mike. This is quite possibly an abyss they might never return from.
Quick, get out the red yarn, guys. We're going to tie this all together.
I don't even remember watching St. Elsewhere. I just remember it being on. At that age, I wasn't probably the target audience for that, right? But, anyway. Yeah, that was produced by Mary Tyler Moore Enterprises. Does that mean it ties into, like, Mary Tyler Moore Show and stuff, too?
No. Don't be fucking stupid.
Jesus.
Jeez, man. Seems like a bit of an overreaction, but, you know.
Whatever.
I mean, come on. I don't really get what's going on here.
Whatever, Fraggle Humper.
Whoa, buddy. Come on now.
Yeah, that's really upset, Mike.
Just rein it in there a little bit, man. Just rein it in. It's getting about that time. Do we have any email?
I don't know.
Because, you know. Happy Battle Pug Day.
Battle Pug Day!
Paddle Bug Day. Is there a paddle bug, such a thing? I don't know. Huh. There apparently are paddle bugs. Yeah.
John Amore writes,
"Hi.
Hi guys, I have a question for you. So Penny Arcade does commentary on games and the gaming industry in general. I was curious, how do they get away with showing licensed characters in their strips?"
It's parody.
Yeah.
Falls under the category of parody.
It doesn't hurt that they also run PAX, and that if anybody tried to sue them, they would be dooming their game to eternal not making money in this.
It's, yeah, It's probably covered under whatever, I mean, the criticism clause of copyright.
Yeah.
I don't know how
it's not like they've made Ezio their main character either. It's just they.
I'd read that.
Yeah. They are the subject of jokes and stuff.
I mean, it was also very much editorializing, because they would have their whole text piece explaining whatever was going on in the news alongside that comic, and then the comic would touch on whatever was happening in the news. So it was more just using the drawings to tell a joke and report on whatever was going on.
Yeah.
Complaining about people using pictures of a game in their article.
Second, I'm really enjoying the warm-up videos you guys are doing. Please continue them.
Canceled.
Six seasons in a movie!
Lastly, mine and Justin Jordan's webcomic, Urban Animal. He's plugging.
I'll let him plug. We're terrible at it.
Of course, I'm kidding.
Is this podcast ad-supported?
Ad-supported. $200, John. Lastly, mine and Justin Jordan's webcomic, Urban Animal, just launched its second season on Webtoon. I've shamelessly plugged it here before. I know. But it's about a boy you can turn into animals, and it's best described as Buffy meets Ben 10. Is it best described that way?
So it's
I bet I could 10. Better
it is
describe
best
it.
Described as that. I'm into that.
We're at half a million likes. You don't need us. Yeah, we're actually a detriment to you.
You're just getting up the wrong tree.
Actually, can you advertise for us on your Webtoon?
It's dragging now.
We're happy to contribute our 15 followers to your Webtoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Urban Animal's like, hey, have you heard of the
warm-up? We're at half a million likes and are very proud of what we have so far. I'd be psyched if you guys came and checked us out. I've seen it, John. I like it. I think you're a really good artist, actually.
I love the art.
Justin is a hack. of course, famous Justin Jordan of Luther Strode. Well, I really love that comic, Luther Strode.
We also did 25 issues of Spread together.
Mm-hmm. He puts the URL for the comic, but it's long. Just go search for Urban Animal at Webtoons.
Webtoons.
It is good.
Yep.
Half a million. Get out of here, John.
Come on, we all know that
probably... Come on over here to flex on us.
We know that 499,000 of those are John's mom.
Wow.
He keeps making accounts.
John's mom is a bot.
Mombot.
Mombot 2000.
Russian mom.
Russian mombot.
Don't go to Russian mom. That's it for email.
Okay. Well, thanks for writing, John. Good job on the comic.
Good job.
On the things coming out today...
Sure hope half a million people buy Battlepug today.
At least like it.
Yeah.
Urban Animal does the... It's the really long vertical scroll.
Webtoons do that in general. Yeah, that's just sort of their thing.
Yeah.
It's got to be a bitch to try and collect that shit. I don't think I've ever seen one that has been collected.
But I imagine it's really good on phones, right? Like,
that's what it's aimed at.
Yeah. I think a lot of people try to format it so that they can get square panels at it so they can get a collection if they want to.
Well, there are some people that just do it as like comic format.
Yeah.
But the majority, I think, are trying, which is weird because, you know, they've tried since the 90s to do this. And now it just seems like the time that people are picking up on it. So.
Yeah. It's the realization of Scott McCloud's dream.
Yeah, it really is.
In a lot of ways.
He's been telling us this for years, and now I don't think he even does it anymore. He's like, I'm tired of this shit. I'm tired of blowing the horn telling people.
Yeah. Sherrard's got one up there, too, that Darby.
Yep. Darby, about a very violent baby dinosaur.
Yeah.
That dinosaur needs to chill the fuck out. Well, I mean, Sherrard needs to chill the fuck out.
Well, I guess better that he expresses himself through his art, right?
That's very true.
But yeah, Webtoons. Dig it.
No.
Or not. Whatever. Whatever, dude. I've had two different... I was approached two different times for projects for Webtoons, and then they just never took off. Or never got started or something. It was really weird. So I've never done a Webtoons. I've never tried to do the Webtoons format yet. Like that. Be interesting, I guess, if I ever get around to it.
I've thought about trying to do something. I mean, I'm too busy now.
Could we reformat Battlepug to work on Webtoons?
Maybe. You can reformat anything. It's just how much work you want to put into it.
Yeah. They do really want the... I had the spec sheets and stuff that they wanted, like the guidelines.
Yeah, because, I mean, they call them screens. They don't even call them panels and stuff. So.
Right. They want it to fit in a specific kind of thing where you can scroll through it on the phone and be a continuous read until the end of each chapter or whatever.
But, yeah, I don't like that either.
A lot of what?
But a lot, I don't mind it when they make it a thing. Like, they'll have just stuff where there's just word balloons.
Oh, I see what you're saying. How they break them again. Yeah,
they
all like that.
I have seen some interesting stuff done on there, like with long continuous things where it's all like one long panel, essentially.
And I'd love to work on something like that. That'd be really cool.
From a conceptual...
Just with the color transitions going between scenes would be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of conceptual stuff you could really try to pull off in that. Yeah.
It's also because they ask you to make it in a way that can be translated. Mm-hmm. So the lettering all has to be able to be in Korean and whatever other languages you want to get it done.
Yeah, because Webtoons is a Korean publisher.
They,
today.
And they've really blown up in the past couple of years. Like,
In a lot of ways, they're one of the biggest comic publishers.
Yeah. I mean, if you take away the distinction of actually not having a physical presence type of thing, yeah, for real they are. Because
they got the biggest audience.
They definitely got the most eyes on projects. So.
Yeah, you can make money.
Yeah.
Another reason I thought about doing it.
Are you still doing Lil Donnie on the other thing?
No.
Just got too much for you, finally?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I wonder, they have an editorial process there, right? I've never approached it from a standpoint of how do you get something on Webtoons.
They have editors because I've talked to them before, so I know this.
I guess you have to approach them with a project and... You were with Image or something?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Brave New World, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little uncomfortable, but that's the way it is. Can be exciting as well.
I hear you. Okay, so in this week's list of stuff coming out. This has
nothing. Only Battlepug.
Zombie Battlepug?
No, there's only Battlepug.
Okay. This has nothing to do with us, but I think it looks interesting. It's a book.
You son of a bitch. There's only Battlepug.
It's a book called 8-Bit Apocalypse. And it's the untold story of Atari's Missile Command. Which I just think sounds kind of interesting. Albatross is putting out Goon No. 6.
Goon No. 6!
It's giving a shout out to our label mates.
I'm going to be drawing some goon.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Right on.
You heard it here first.
Mike Norton on goon.
Mike Norton is a goon. You son of a bitch.
Kinda.
Oh,
I've got a, from Blue Juice, I've got a one-shot thing I lettered called M. Bonnie Pirates.
What?
Or Spirits. Sorry, it was called Spirits. It's a sub-thing in the M. Bonnie universe of theirs. They got a comic line called M. Bonnie.
What?
It's sort of a pirate.
Blue Juice?
Yeah, they're the ones that do the Accelerators book that Gavin draws.
Oh, okay. And who draws that? Is that the Craig Cermak book?
This was... I'm not sure who the artist was on this, to be honest. I think it was Barry McLean. I'm not sure who draws the main series, though. But, yeah. So this is a... What is this? Oh, this is actually a two-part thing. It's Gummerblot Day and Spire. It's a flip book, I think, with two different stories that are both just one-shot spin-offs from the M. Bonnie world.
M. Bonnie universe is just weird to me.
It's pirates, sort of.
Yeah,
fantasy,
I get it.
Fantasy pirates. And it's not drab.
Fantasy pirates can mean a lot of different things.
It's not drab, either. It's very colorful. I'm just scrolling down, looking at stuff, yeah, seeing what I see. Gosh. So what's this deceased thing?
I don't know. It looks like Marvel Zombies for DC.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Was it like an undead book, or is it where they're just going to kill off everybody again in the Marvel or in the DC universe?
I don't know.
A Good Day to Die.
Blue Beetle should be the hero of that book.
A Good Day to Die?
God damn it.
No, I mean...
So hard to see sometimes.
Why should... I don't understand why Blue Beetle should be... Just because you like him?
That's Blue Beetle should be the hero of every book.
That's in the show.
Okay. You ain't gotta be like that, man.
Well, it's time to end the show.
Oh, I'm still seeing if there's anything else out.
Charlie's Angel of Bionic Woman number 3 is out today.
See?
That was by me. And art by Steve.
And letters by who? I think it was Clayton Cowles, wasn't it?
No, Jim Campbell.
Jim Campbell?
No, that's wrong book. Sorry. I'm mixing up books now.
I think it was Clayton.
It is. Tom Napolitano.
Oh, okay. Tom Napolitano, then. If they got it right this time. For all we know, it could be somebody else entirely. But yeah.
The audio.
So anyway, Battle Pug number 1. Curse Words number 24 is also in stores today.
Oh, snap. Yeah. One more to go.
Yeah, that's going to be a while since the surprise birth of baby Kirby? Baby Kirby. Oh, yeah. In case anybody didn't... Well, we talked about that last week, yeah. Ryan and Carrie had a kid. His name's Kirby.
Woo.
Welcome to the world, baby Kirby. All right. And Rick and Morty presents The Flesh Curtains, number 1.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't like that.
God, I fucking hate that whole thing.
Which is,
curtains.
It's just a band. That's a band name.
No.
The weird thing is I used to hang around a band named Skin Curtain. And I even subbed in for them a couple times when one of the members got sick before a show. But yeah, so I just thought it was weird. I wound up lettering a book called Flesh Curtains.
Stop saying it!
Flesh Curtains? All right, I'll stop. And I guess that's it for this week because everybody's sounding really impatient now. So you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com, go to battlepug.com, find stuff. Go visit everybody else on the Instagrams and the Twitters and the websites and stuff, and make sure you get into the store today and go buy 500,000 copies of Battle Pug.
I'd like that.
We want Battle Pug to completely sell out so we can sell out.
Half a million!
I want to show those fuckers over at Urban Animal.
Urban Animal is the official Battle Pug rival. No. The nemesis.
I guess they are now.
You're making them that way, so sure. And have a good weekend. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.